Continuing my series of lessons on justice, tonight's going to be the hardest one for you to swallow. But I'm going to stick it in your mouth and hold your mouth shut like a dog taking an aspirin, and I'm going to make you swallow it. But you're going to have a hard time swallowing what I'm going to give you tonight. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I'm going to read a lot of verses. I'm going to read quite a few verses. In fact, most all of the first chapter of Romans. I'll start with verse 21, read the rest of the chapter. Page 1192, your Scofield Bible. I want you to notice the it has written there in the Scofield Bible, above verse 21, the seven stages of Gentile world apostasy. I don't know if Mr. Scofield's right there, but he is describing the condition of the deterioration of mankind. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, he's describing the deterioration of mankind, and especially the Gentile world. Now, in verse 24, most awful passages. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's any kind of immorality. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, that's lesbianism. And likewise also the men, having leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, that's homosexuality, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, he describes in verses 29 through 22, he sort of summarizes all he said and lists these sins. Look at it now. I want you to notice the awful sins here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, notice the word such things, I'm going to come to that later on, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our Heavenly Father, I believe tonight I'm going to bring the most shocking lesson on justice I've ever brought. But it's all from the Bible, and I pray you'd help us to see it tonight. Somehow we fundamentalists need to get God's idea of justice. And I pray you'd help this crowd tonight to listen attentively and learn carefully what the Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, what a responsibility it is to teach the only book that is eternal and the only book that God ever wrote. And what a responsibility it is to teach it to people made in the image of God, God's first love. So bless us as we teach this wonderful book to your wonderful creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, of course, we have to overlap a little bit because everything I'm teaching is constructed on the foundation of what was taught before. So I want you to get everything out of your minds now, everything except what I'm teaching from the Word of God. I'm going to show you tonight the wicked, wicked sin of judging. The wicked, wicked sin of judging. Now, to lay the foundation, I'm going to take two passages that we have studied before and take about 5 minutes or 6 minutes on them and then pivot to some new passages and I think a truth that is shocking. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and let's look again at Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting with verse 12. This is a passage that we've been on for 3 weeks now, but I want you to get it, and we're just gonna rush right over it and then jump to other passages. Page 216, look at it carefully now. In verse 12, Moses is talking. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. All right, now look at me, and I want to just review just a moment. You recall that in the Old Testament, God had a way of judging his people. Now, by judging his people, that meant just like you'd go to court now. A person sues somebody else because he's wronged him. God said, okay, he said, I want to choose some. I said, oh, Moses, I want you to choose men to judge. Now, he said, some men can judge more than others. Some men can carry a heavier load than others. So I want some men to have thousands under their jurisdiction. But some men cannot have thousands, but they can have hundreds. So I want them to have hundreds under them. But some men can't have hundreds, and so I want them to have fifties. And some men can't have fifties, so I want them to have tens. Now, I remember the night that I had these fellows stand up here and gave each man a certain section. God said to them, you cannot judge outside your own section. I have given you an area of judgment. If God gave to a man 10 people over here to judge, that man was not allowed to judge anybody else's 10, anybody else's 50, anybody else's 100, anybody else's 1,000. He was not allowed to judge. Now, God has given us areas of judging in the New Testament also. God has given in the home a father. God has given in the business a boss. God has given in the church a pastor. God has given different responsibilities. And now, for example, I, as pastor of this church, I often have to make judgment. And as president of Hiles Anderson College, Dr. Evans has that area for his judgment. And as the head of E&C&D buses, Brother Ray Young has that area for his judgment. And each of us has an area, each adult has an area where he is supposed to judge. Now, like in the Old Testament, the judge could not judge out of his area, you and I are not to judge out of our areas either. It's not my business to judge church in Lowell. It's not my business to judge what goes on at the church in Salt Village. It's not my business. And it's not their business to judge what goes on here. Each of us has his own area of responsibility, and we're to judge within that area. Now, when we judge outside that area, it becomes wrong. Take your Bibles and open them, please, to Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. We've used this before, but I want you to see it again. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 4. I want you to read that verse out loud, page 1207, please. Romans 14, 4, ready? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. All right? It says, who are you to judge somebody else's servant? Who are you to judge somebody else's child? Who are you to judge somebody else's church? Who are you to judge somebody else's classroom? Who are you to judge somebody else's children? Who are you to judge somebody else's business? It is not you. Each man is supposed to rise or fall on his own master. That means that it is not your business to get outside your area to judge. Now, we've been through that, but I want you to get it very, very carefully. Now then, let me say this. Somebody asked a good question Sunday night. There are other areas where you have to judge and where God wants you to judge, because you must judge. For example, we choose new deacons here at First Baptist Church. Now, follow me carefully. We have to judge. We have some rules concerning the deacons of First Baptist Church in Hammond. Now, the deacons have to judge. However, I'll tell you how we do it. When we decide to nominate fellows to run for deacon, We do not mince. I tell the deacons the rules, the things that the deacons must do. A deacon in our church must be faithful to the services if he runs, and if a deacon is not faithful to the services, then he misrepresented the truth, which is another nice word for lied, when he decided to run for a deacon. He promised to be faithful to the public services of the church. He promised to be loyal to the leadership and the program of the church. He promised to tithe. He promised that he would adhere to the convictions preached from the pulpit concerning standards and so forth. A deacon must be a member of the church here for at least a year. We do not choose deacons who've been divorced and so forth. And so, there are many things. Now, I tell these deacons, our present deacons, I tell them, when we decide to nominate new deacons, I tell them these rules. Then we put the names of all the men that they think might be good deacons up on the chalkboard. And I can read a name like I'll read the name Mr. Jones over here say. And I'll say, bow your heads. First I'll say, if anybody knows any reason why Mr. Jones should not be a deacon and not qualified to be a deacon, when we bow our heads and close our eyes, you just simply raise your hand. I do not want to know, nor will we discuss why he shouldn't be a deacon. We're not going to discuss what he's doing. Whether he smokes cigarettes or drinks some wine or has been divorced. We're not going to discuss that. You'll simply raise your hand. So I'll have the deacons bow their heads. I'll say, bow your heads, close your eyes, raise your hands. If one man raises his hand, vetoing a man who's a possible deacon candidate, that man is erased off the board. Now, what do? We judge. But that's our area to judge. We have to judge. But we don't have to blab. You see. Somehow or other, the fundamental world, part of the fundamental world, has got the idea that you're supposed to put it on nationwide television every time somebody does something wrong. That's not covering sin. That's just being decent. That's all that is. But anyway, that's the way we do it. But now, you see, we have to judge. Suppose somebody sends you a reference form. Somebody used to work for you, and they've applied for a job somewhere else. Now, you've got to be honest. And that is an area where you have to judge. And God wants you to judge. That's your area, just like some judges had thousands, and some had hundreds, and some had fifties, and some had tens. That is a part of your area where you must judge. Now, let's suppose that somebody asks your daughter for a date. You want to check that guy out. And you might ask me to check him out. And so, there's nothing wrong with that. That is your area. You're supposed to protect your daughter. God has given you that daughter to protect her. And you're supposed to be careful who she runs with and whom she dates. That is your area to judge. Let's take, for example, in the house, in your house, or in your business, or if you're choosing a church, or if a church is voting on a pastor. All of those things, now look at me now, these become your areas where you're supposed to judge. But you're not supposed to judge outside your area. It's none of your, if this church were pastorless, and there are those who think it is, if this church were pastorless and you were calling a new pastor, you would have to judge somebody and know about him and check on him to find if he should be a pastor. I think the Dyer Baptist Church without a pastor now. I think I heard that. Is that right? But it's none of my business to judge whom they should call. You see what I'm trying to say? That's not my area. And it's not your area. And it's none of your business whom they call. If you don't like somebody they're going to call, it's none of your business. Now, the other day, a church in this area was going to call a pastor. And they voted on a man and voted to call him. And they asked him before they voted on him what he thought about Brother Hiles and First Baptist Church of Hammond. And he said, I'm not against them. They found out after they'd called him that he was against us. And they changed their minds and said, we won't call you because we won't call anybody that doesn't like First Baptist Church Hammond and Brother Hiles. Don't you think for a second we have more enemies than friends? We got a lot more friends around here. We got enemies in this area. Folks respect this church. But I'm simply saying that it's none of my business whom they call. Now, I didn't call out there and say, look, the guy you called doesn't like our church and doesn't like me, and you shouldn't call him. I had Mrs. McKinney do it. But no, I didn't, none of my business. That's not a part of my area. And the classroom in the third grade at Hammond Baptist Junior Grade School is not your area either, unless you're the teacher or the principal. And Brother Eddie has a right to make judgments in the youth department and without you interfering. And Brother Bordway has a right to make judgments in the choir without you interfering. God hasn't made you vice God. So you're not supposed to judge out of your area. All right, now this is review still. Look, please, to James chapter 4 and verse 11. James chapter 4, page 1309, James chapter 4 and verse 11. Make it verse 10. Make it Hebrews. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I like that. Humble yourself. Bible, every once in a while I hear some self-pious person say, oh God, make us humble. Shut up. Supposed to make yourself humble. God says, humble yourself. My people shall call my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin. Well, anyway, he said, humble yourself inside of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, look at, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Now, that word evil is the word kataleleo in the Greek, which means talking about somebody when you don't have any evidence against them. That's if you don't know what they've done, you heard what they've done, and you listen now, and you spread it or believe it, and you don't know what you're talking about. We're not supposed to do that. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. But I'm not going to dwell on that tonight. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. Now, the word judge there is not the same word. The word kataleleo, where it says speak not evil, is the word for rumor or scandal. But the word judge there is the word krino, which means judging from facts. God says you're not supposed to judge even if you got the goods. That's what it says. He said in the first place, don't spread rumors you don't know are true. And then he said, don't spread rumors that you know are true. Well, I'll tell you what, I saw it. Well, your mouth can stay shut just as much as if you didn't see it. That's what God said. He said, don't katalelio or don't krino. He said, don't spread stuff that are rumors, and don't judge that which is true. Now, that's very, very important. Now then, let's go to our study for tonight. Look at Romans chapter 1 again. Would you please? You were there a while ago. Romans chapter 1 again. I'm going to start with verse 29, and I'm going to read all these dirty things that sort of summarize the rest of the chapter. Now, don't leave me, because we're going to hit something right now that you need to hear. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, there's one, fornication, well, that's bad, wickedness, that's bad, covetousness, that's one of the Ten Commandments, maliciousness, that's malice, full of envy, that's bad, murder, good night, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Look at those wicked sins. Now we're talking about people that do those. The Bible's talking about people that do these sins. All right, now look at it again, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things, look at that little two words, such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What about that's talking about? You reckon that's talking about people that do this stuff on television and you watch it for fun? You reckon that's what that is? Or you reckon that's when you hear some juicy gossip, you pick up the telephone and spread it and enjoy spreading it? You reckon that's what that is? I don't know all it covers, but I know one thing. Look at it again. Who knowing the judgment of God, that these people that did all these wicked things up here, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. But somebody else is worthy of death too. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Bible said, if you have pleasure in folks that do these things, you deserve the same judgment that they deserve. God's going to judge you for watching a fornication on television, just like he's going to judge the fornicators and the whores and whoremongers and harlots and prostitutes that are on television. You talk about the condition of America and how America's going to the devil. Those of you that sit there and watch those movies and bring those movies and put them on your machine at home and watch those movies in your living room and watch the dirty movies on television and watch the dirty soap operas, you're having pleasure in those that do the things. And the Bible said that you'll be judged by God Almighty just as much as the whole Hollywood whores that do it. Now then, I am. Now look down to chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, Anytime you find the word therefore, there's something that went before. You see, the chapter divisions in the Bible were placed there by men. The chapter divisions are not necessarily inspired. I'm glad we have them because we can say turn to Romans 1:15 or Romans 2:17. But in this case, this is a poor division of chapter. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, and that's because what went before, thou art inexcusable, O man, I get this, whosoever thou art that judgest. Now look at it. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Now get this. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. Are you listening? If you never have been filled with fornication, committed fornication, but you judge somebody that has, you're guilty of fornication. But it says. You say, if you never have been guilty of murder, but you judge somebody that is, you're guilty of murder. I just can't see that. You don't have to see it, but it's written right there. You've got eyes to read. It's time you Pharisees start reading all the Bible instead of part of the Bible. But it says, let's look at it again, verse 1 again. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Boy, he's going to get them now, isn't he? He's going to tell those people off, those murderers and whoremongers and backbiters and haters of God and disobedient to parents and boasters and inventors of evil things and haters of God and murder and debate and deceit. He's going to tell them off. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoso thou art that, oh boy, judgest. Not talking about folks that did those things right now. He's saying, you people that enjoy, I don't care who it's about, spreading garbage, even if you know it's true, he says, that is inexcusable. And then says, for wherein thou judgest, and that word judge is the word krino. Same word krino. It means judging with the evidence. You have the evidence. Says, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. What same things are they? Back there in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, they that commit such things. Same thing. The people that commit these things are under the judgment of Almighty God, and the people that go around judging everybody, now follow me, outside the area where God has given you responsibility to judge. If your child disobeys you, you've got a right to spank him. That's in your area. If the child next door disobeys you, you don't have a right to spank him. That's not in your area. If somebody on my staff does something wrong, one of these things, I have a perfect right to discipline them because that's in my area. But you don't have a right to discipline them because that's not in your area. And if you teach the first grade in Hammond Baptist Schools and somebody judges in the sixth grade, it's not your business what the sixth grade teacher does because you're the first grade teacher. So if you get outside God's appointed area for you to judge, and you judge, krino, having the evidence, having the truth, and you judge about these things, you are guilty of every one of these things. Let me just start to be real ugly. That means you that judge and criticize outside your area, you're covetous, you're a fornicator, you're wicked, you're malicious, you're envious, you're a murderer, you're deceitful, you're a whisperer, you're a backbiter, you hate God, you're despiteful, you're proud, you boaster, you're inventor of evil things, you're disobedient to parents, you're without understanding, you're a covenant breaker, you're unmerciful, and in this thing, it even talks in this chapter about homosexuality. Our nation is built on the word critique. Critique, critique, critique. I'm going to get down to that in a few minutes. But, anyway, now I want you to go back to a verse we used one time in passing that covers this same thing. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse, I think it's 19. I'll know it when I get there. Verse 15. Deuteronomy, page 238. Say, don't you think it's time we realized how wicked that criticism is? I'm talking about, God is talking about wicked. God calls you a whore. even if you've never committed adultery. If you're a critic and judge outside your area, God calls you a murderer. God says you're guilty of whatever the person has done that you judge. Some of you folks think you know so much Bible. Won't you take the advanced course and know as much Bible as I do? Some of you Bible hotshots. Now, I want to read you. Look at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 19. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And that does not mean he's guilty. It means you investigate. I told you that the other day. If a false witness rise up against a man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. What's he saying? He's saying that a person who judges falsely in the Old Testament day, if he accused his brother of a sin that required capital punishment, then he was supposed to be killed for falsely accusing his brother. Now you listen, folks. We fundamentalists, we need to learn some Bible. We've talked about smoking, and I'm against smoking. You know that. God intended your stovepipe, your head to be a stovepipe. He made out of brick, nose to be a stovepipe. Well, anyhow, he would have. If God had intended for your nose to be a stovepipe, he'd made it out of brick and put it on the top of your head. But anyway, I'm against smoking. But do you know smoking is not as bad as criticizing? Bible doesn't say if a man smokes, he'll be guilty of adultery. It said if a man judges outside his own area, he's guilty of the same sin he judged the man for. And if it's false accusation, he's supposed to be punished just exactly the same punishment that the fellow is going to get. If you don't believe God does that, you look at the story of Haman and Mordecai in the Bible. Haman was hanged on the very gallows he built for Mordecai because he falsely accused Mordecai. And God Almighty saw to it that Haman died in capital punishment because he had falsely accused a man who was and tried to get him placed on those same gallows. Now then, look at Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7:1, the very famous Matthew 7:1. Page 1003. Read those first two verses out loud, please. Ready? Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Same thing I just read a while ago in Deuteronomy 19:15-19. Same thing. Said, you judge. That's outside your area. God's given a father a right to judge in his family. God's given a pastor a right to judge in his church. God's given a mayor a right to judge in his city. God's given a president the right to judge in his nation. God's given a teacher the right to judge in the school. God's given a principal the right to judge in the overall work of the school. God has given certain areas to each of us where we have to make judgment. But outside those areas, if we judge wrongly, then we pay the same price. And that's what it said, verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured you again. Now look at me. I said last week, I'm going to make one foundation statement, then launch out and make another statement. There are two ways to break the law. There are two parts of the law. I'm talking about the law of the land. Number one, there's the part of the law concerning the deed that's wrong. Then there's the part of the law concerning who enforces that, the breaking of that law. You follow me? All right. Now, that means, don't miss this now. That means if you break the law and do something against the law, that's the breaking of the law. But if you take over the enforcement of that law, when you have not given the right to enforce that law, then you also have broken the law. Is that right? All right. Now, follow me carefully. One criminal cannot judge another. God is saying one criminal cannot judge another criminal. Suppose we go down to the court, and there's a guy being tried for murder. And right after him, there's going to be a rapist tried. And suppose that the rapist walks out and says, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." Court's now in session. And that rapist is the judge of the murderer. That's against the law. Because the judge himself is not supposed to be a lawbreaker, is that right? Consequently, he who has not broken the law judges him who has broken the law. Are you with me? All right. That means a murderer cannot judge another murderer. That means an armed robber cannot judge a rapist. That means that one breaker of the law cannot judge another breaker of the law. And my Bible says that all of us have broken the law of God. Since all of us have broken the law of God, there's nobody that's not a criminal as far as we're concerned, our lives are concerned, and consequently, we're not qualified to judge anybody else. Did you hear what I said? I said, you're not qualified to judge anybody else. I said, you're not qualified. Because one lawbreaker can't judge another lawbreaker. The judge must not be guilty of breaking the law. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none good, no, not one. And every single person in this room has broken the divine law of Almighty God. And that disqualifies every person in this room to judge anybody else. Won't you shut your mouth? See what I said? Shut up. You're not qualified. You're not qualified. You are a breaker of the divine law of God Almighty. Hold it now. If God has given you an area, you're supposed to obey Him and control that area. God says in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 that the home should have authority, that the business should have authority. And other places, God mentions that the kings and rulers should have authority, and God has given people authority. But outside your area of divine appointed authority, you have no right in this world to judge. Because we have all broken the law of God. Look, please, to James chapter 2. The book of James chapter number 2. The very famous verse number 10. Page 1307. Read that with me, please. Verse 10 of chapter 2 of James. Ready? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. All right, look at me. Let's just take the Ten Commandments right now. There are other things in the law, but let's take the Ten Commandments. Does the Bible say that if you are guilty in one breaking one commandment, that you're guilty of all of them? Is that right? Yes or no? All right, then suppose you covet, then you're an adulterer. Suppose you covet, okay, then you're a murderer. I didn't say that. God said it. See, the law is one unit, not 10 units. This illustration has been used again and again. If you've got a 10-link chain, one car is pulling another car. If you've got 10 links in the chain that's tying those cars together, and if all 10 of those links break, that car will not pull the other car. Is that right? But if one link breaks, that car will not pull the other car either. And so you have one link on that chain break, it'll have the same effect. You have all 10 break, and God said if you're guilty of breaking any part of the law, you're guilty of breaking the entire law, and you are not qualified then to sit in judgment on somebody else. You say, now, Brother Howes, wait a minute now. What if somebody commits an awful sin, and that somebody, that means we're not supposed to do anything about it? No, it means the people to whom God has given constituted authority do something about it. And it means outside your own place of constituted authority, you're not even supposed to think in your mind what ought to be done. I just don't think that's what should have been done. If it's outside your area, it's none of your cotton-picking business. Only inside your area. Brother Hiles, what if the judge inside that area is wrong? Now, what if you're wrong inside your area? You want somebody butting in? Well, then quit butting. You see?
We're all human. Now, you say preacher, but wait a minute now. Does that mean that people are going to get by with being judged wrongly? Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. There probably has never been a single time in the case in the history of humanity when anybody has been totally fairly judged. Because all the judges are imperfect people. Well, you say, Brother House, that doesn't seem fair. They ever dawn on you, that's why there's going to be a judgment seat? The judgment seat basically, hear me, the judgment seat basically is a place where God will correct all the inequities of our imperfect judgment. Do you follow that? That's what it's all about. So God is the appellate court. And at the judgment seat, all inequities of justice will be balanced. But it's not your job to run next door to another area and balance the one next door. It's not your job if a guy next door's kid misbehaves, he doesn't spank him. It's not your job to run next door and say, man, spank that kid. It's not your job. None of your business. God has not put you in charge of that kid. God put you in charge of your children. Now, the truth is, I said again, I doubt seriously, since man is imperfect, I doubt if man ever totally judges properly. But since there's nobody here, somebody's got to judge within the framework of our society and its institution. Somebody's got to judge. Somebody's got to decide who goes in a basketball game, who starts on the first team. Somebody's got to judge. Somebody's got to judge how much a Little League baseball player plays in the First Baptist Little League. And it's none of your business to run out of the stands and point your finger at the manager and say, you're showing partiality against my boy. If he's showing partiality against your boy, that's not your area. He's the manager of that team. And probably you're not doing any better in the area where you're supposed to judge than he is in the area where he's supposed to judge. So it's in every, we're here on earth. We've got to have some kind of order. We've got to have some kind of justice. So God has said, I'm going to give somebody authority over thousands, and some people authority over hundreds, and some over fifties, and some over tens, and some over businesses, and some over children, and some over houses, and some over churches, and some over schools, and some over classrooms, and some over ball leagues, and I'm giving everybody a certain area where he judges. But since nobody is perfect and all of us have broken the law of God, our judging will never be exactly proper. And God said it's going to all one of these days be balanced out. Isn't that what we say so often? Don't we often say, those little people that never got any attention, there's going to be a day when the judgment seat comes and they're going to get the rewards they deserve. There's also going to be a day when some rewards are going to be snatched away from a bunch of people too. God is going to balance out every judicial inequity that man has made on this earth. Look at Psalm 64:6. Psalm 64:6. This verse is going to shock you. I think I'll go back to verse 1. I've been doing that all night, haven't I? Look at Psalm 64:1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. He's talking about wicked here. From the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. He's talking about workers of iniquity here. Let's describe them. Who whet their tongue like a sword. Got a sharp tongue. And bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. That's interesting, isn't it? The word perfect there means mature. The fellow that's always shooting is the guy. Always shooting is the guy that's shooting an immature person shooting some mature person. That's what it says. By the way, these people are wicked, workers of iniquity, and they shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly, do they shoot at him and fear not? They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They think they're doing good. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, "Who shall see them?" Now look at the crowd. They search out iniquities. They investigate. They're trying to find what's wrong. They'll go out to the courthouse and check and see if we've got any buildings that don't have proper permits. They'll go to the Hammond Times and tell the Hammond Times and search out. They'll go to the auditor and try to get the auditor to check out and see. They search out iniquities. And that is of the devil. Bible says what it is. It says they're the wicked, in verse 2, and workers of iniquity. It's not my job to find somebody I don't like and then investigate everything I can about him to try to find everything bad I can about him to try to hurt him. How many of you are here? I announced on a Sunday morning several years ago. I think it's been about 10 years ago. I said, I know some things have been going on in this church. I said, I found out some things. I've sought out some things. I've investigated carefully, and I'm going to shock you tonight. I'm going to call names tonight. I said, if you don't believe it, show up. We had the biggest crowd we've had in years that night. You know what I did? I had sought out some kind things our people had done. And everybody was disappointed. If you're gonna search, won't you search out for some good things? It says these wicked people search out iniquities. Look at, they accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. And that word deep means it is of hell. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Now, folks, look at me. I'm not trying to keep anybody from doing anything. I don't want you to be a whoremonger. And that's what you are if you judge outside the area where God has appointed you the right to judge. I don't want you to be a murderer. But that's what you are. You see, your trouble is you don't believe the Bible. You lightly pick up that telephone and call somebody and tell them something that you... And I'm not kidding. This is dead serious. You shouldn't be snickering, I'm talking, when the Bible calls you a whore. The Bible calls you a whoremonger, a fornicator, a murderer. You shouldn't snicker about that. God doesn't snicker about it. You pick up the telephone and call and say, did you hear something about Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen, Brother Hiles, Brother Young, anybody else? You yourself are guilty of whatever you are talking about. And God will judge you for that thing, or this Bible is not the Word of God. That's justice. See, God has allowed mankind to be organized into groups, just like the Old Testament. God has founded certain institutions. There are going to be times in your home. But by the way, that's why it's none of the welfare's business how you take care of your child. Now, it is the government's business if you are destroying the person of that child. Like any other person, the person, the property, and the freedom is supposed to be preserved by the government. But I'm simply saying God has had to divide society into certain units. And there's nobody here but human beings. So God has had to place a human being over each of these units. Now, wait a minute. Our children used to say when they were in school sometimes, but Dad, our teacher sometimes doesn't know as much about doing right as some of the pupils. Now, wait a minute. Follow me for a minute. Didn't God say that the man's supposed to be the head of the house? Didn't God say the child's supposed to obey his parents? Is that right? Is that right? All right. Let me ask a question then. Does that mean only good parents? I'm not the best man in this church. But I'm God's chosen man to fill this pulpit. Dr. Evans is not the best man at Howells Anderson College, but he's God's chosen man to be the president of Howells Anderson College. God never said he's going to choose the best man. God said he's going to choose somebody. We say, well, why did you choose so-and-so? Ask him when you see him. I didn't do it. Blame him. But the honest truth is, look, you are going to be in some organization someday that has a leader that is placed there by God who is weaker than you are. What are you supposed to do? Rebel? No. Obey. I've been on the Sword of the Lord board for 34 years. Dr. Hudson's been associated with the Sword of the Lord probably 15 years. I know more about the sword of history than he does, and when he took over the Sword of the Lord, I knew more about the Sword of the Lord than he did. I don't now, but I did then. But the minute he took Dr. Rice's place as the head of the Sword of the Lord, though I knew more than he did at that time about the Sword of the Lord, became subservient to him and obeyed him and let him make the decisions in the Sword of the Lord because he was God's chosen one to be there. So God says, this goes, they go, race I've created here has got to have some order. Now, God said, if we're going to have order, somebody's got to judge between, make decisions and make judgment calls. So he said, I've got to put somebody in charge of every group. And since nobody's there but that this race I created, I've got to choose this race, somebody from this race. So I will choose somebody from every institution and let him be in charge of that institution, and he will fill my divine appointment. Then that person is to judge inside his own area, but not outside. Because outside his own area, there's somebody else in charge of that area where he is. Follow me carefully. You are never in your life ever outside some area of constituted authority. Now, some of those areas, you are the constituted authority. But when you leave that area, you go into another area where there are others who are the constituted authority. Because otherwise we have anarchy, chaos. Somebody's got to be in charge. And so God says, don't you go around judging everybody else's servant. Don't you judge everybody else's employees. Don't you judge everybody else's students. It's up to the person given that authority. And he said, if you do that, he said, don't even judge somebody else's fornicators, murderers, deceitful, covetous, disobedient to parents. All those wicked sins. He said, if you judge outside your area, in these cases, you are guilty of the same sins that you have judged them of. And you will be punished by God as they would have been punished by God. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, that just doesn't seem fair. No, there's nothing fair about the human race. Nobody is really fair. I try to be fair, but I'm not always fair. So God says, now hear me carefully. He said, you leave it alone when somebody's misjudged. You leave it alone. And he said, only one. Okay, I'll close with this. Look at John 5:22. John 5:22. Page 1121. Read it out loud, please. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I'll clear. God was sort of dumb there. He let you out. If he had known how brilliant you are, he'd have said to the Son and you. He just did not know the wonders of your judgment. In fact, you're the only one that does. Hath committed most judgment? No. All judgment unto the Son. So listen now. So what's God saying? God is saying there will never be a judgment made by human beings that is going to be exactly just. Consequently, he said, there's going to be a judgment seat, and I will see to it that every wrong justice is rectified. And at that judgment seat, every single thing will be rectified. So God says, leave it alone. When somebody who's in charge of another area does something that you think is a mistake, you leave it alone. God said, I'll take care of that. And that's what he says. He says, vengeance is mine. He says, repayment is mine. He said, when somebody judges within their area and it's a wrong judgment, don't you jump over in that area. You leave it alone. I'll take care of that myself. It's mine. Repayment is mine. Ladies and gentlemen, every single human relationship that you have in life that is strained is caused by what? By you thinking that somebody didn't do what you think they ought to do. See what I said? Every fuss you have with your wife or husband, it's because he or she did not do what you thought he or she should do. Every bad relationship you have with anybody in this world, it's caused by the fact that you did not get your way in somebody the way somebody else judged. That's the problem. That's why you lose your temper. That's why you throw a fit. Because you didn't get your way. Because you have jumped over the fence into an area where you're not a judge and have not been given divine appointment to judge. And in so doing, have made yourself guilty of everything you've judged somebody of doing. And have also become an idol, putting yourself up as God. Because it is God who is supposed to rectify wrong judgment and not you. And you have said, I'll take care of it, God. You're pretty good, and someday you might do a pretty good job, but I can do a good job right now. And you're your own idol. It's self-worship. Because you think you're always right. Only one is always right. And that's me. Shall we stand, please?